Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to The Hotbed, the podcast brought to you by The Hotbed Collective. This is our sixth series, and we set up The Hotbed because we wanted to find out why women were having fewer orgasms than men, what we could do about it, what we could do about our sex lives in general and our relationships. I'm Cherry Healy.
I'm Aniki Somerville. And our co-founder, Lisa Williams, is not here today, but she's here in spirit. Hey, Cherry. So we're here again. Lisa's not here, but she is here. Her spirit animal is a donkey, she told me.
Is it?
Yeah,
that's
apparently.
Very un-Lisa, because she's very kind of quick. I would have said she's more of a meerkat.
Meerkat.
Quick and sparky.
And what's your spirit animal then?
A worm.
A worm.
What's yours?
Mine is probably a tarantula.
This is the least scary person I've ever met in my life.
No, I'm a big, I'm a cuddly, cuddly bear.
A cuddly tarantula.
A cuddly tarantula.
We've got Jacqueline Gold today. I'm so excited.
I'm quite excited. And I feel like I haven't been in an Ann Summers store for a while because obviously she's the CEO of Ann Summers.
I remember when I first went into a Ann Summers store, one of my boyfriends took me and I was such a child and I was really squeamish and he was really... sexually empowered and obviously a grown up, and he was showing me some sex toys and I was like, oh my God,
I'm so embarrassed.
And I realised that I was a complete fool. I looked at my reaction, I thought, what am I doing? I'm a grown woman and I'm being squeamish about a sex toy. Like, I have sex and most people do of an adult age. Why am I being so ridiculous about it? And that's when I kind of slapped myself around the face metaphorically.
And said, life.
I've got to become more empowered about this. This is absolutely ridiculous.
I know. But there is, unfortunately, there's still that kind of sniggering.
Yeah.
I think when I mention about, doing a podcast about sex, and I've said this before, is that people sort of go, oh, you must have a really good sex life. Oh, I bet you got loads of sex toys. I bet you're always having sex all the time. You know, and you're like, they say it in quite a kind of hateful way. You know? And I'm like, no, I'm not actually like a bonobo. Like, I'm not going at it all the time. But I do talk about it.
What's a bonobo?
Bonobo is it's the monkey that you never see, because basically all they do is shag. So whenever you see documentaries... But essentially, this monkey is probably, I think, I might have to be tested on this, closest to us in terms of sort of, relationship. But all they do is shagging one another, shagging other monkeys, shagging trees.
So you're not a bonobo. I do think that there's a really, really odd connection between somebody talking about sex and wanting to learn about it and being a pervert.
Yeah, but that's there's the thing people imply that you are.
When I tell people about this, there's the implication that, and they always go, but aren't you a mum?
Mm.
You go, yeah, and I like making shepherd's pie and I'm really good at helping my kids with their homework and I also am interested in and enjoy sex. It's not that I'm having it any more than anyone else. It's just that I think it's really important to talk about it. It just makes it, if you remove shame from sex. It doesn't mean that it doesn't have to be kind of naughty and dirty and fun and all those fun things, but
you can talk about
shame
it in a positive.
Shame is very different. Shame is incredibly different.
Well, we're bad at it as women, aren't we? We just with the guilt and the shame, the GS.
There's a lot of judgment, I think. There's a lot of sneering when it comes to this subject if you are talking about it. I just think it's important to catch yourself, because I do it, I think, sometimes, catch yourself when you're going to that really horrible judgy place, and what's going on with you, what is probably more about you than them.
Okay, so here's Jacqueline, who is fabulous and was very honest.
This is a sponsored post. It's Anarchy here. I'm just calling you up because I've got my period. I'm thinking I might try one of those new moon cups.
Oh, moon cup, you say? Well, that happens to be my favourite subject. How did you know?
I just guessed. You're that kind of gal.
I'll take it. I actually did wonder what it would take for me to convince you to try moon cup. I've sort of had my eye on bringing you to my side, the dark side of the moon.
Oh, I know. And you're always keeping me up to date with all the latest things in sanitary care as well, aren't you?
It's not a joke. This is true. So I've been using my moon cup for a long, long while. It's the only one that's made in the UK. It launched in 2002 and I started using one. I think I must have been one of the original users because I was at uni at that time and I saw it advertised on the back of a toilet door with a sticker. It was kind of guerrilla marketing. And I was like, what's this moon cup thing? And I tried it. And I've got through about three of them since then. So I've kind of got rid of a couple. I lost one and the other one I just thought was looking a little bit sad and got rid of it.
When you say that you lost it, you didn't lose it inside yourself then?
No, there's no way. The only way is down from a vagina. There's no way all the way up. Were you worried?
Yes, I was worried. That was one of my barriers as to why I haven't tried it.
Why else haven't you tried it, mate?
Well, I'm going to go back to my normal voice now because my accent wasn't working there. I think one of the things I was worried about was kind of just how it feels and the size of it. I suppose post-baby, still only a year and a bit in, I've been probably a bit more wedded to using towels just because they feel a bit more comfy.
There's two different sizes. So you just have a look at the table and they've got a sort of slightly bigger one and a slightly smaller one, depending on whether you've had a baby and how old you are. They've got an advice line that you can call up and really have a little chat with them about any issues that you have. I know a lot of people have questions about whether to use it with, a coil or anything. And I'm not best placed to answer that question, but they have an advice line that with medical professionals. So if you are worried, you could give them a ring.
Oh, well, thank you, Lisa. Thank you for all your advice on the moon cup.
Have I won you over?
Well, you know what? I think I might give it a whirl. What have I got to lose, really? And I guess there's also the whole area of wastage as well. And I'm feeling a bit guilty about my carbon footprint and all that stuff. So that's another reason to try it.
It's true. And if you go to the moon cup website, they've got this amazing ticker. It's like a real-time ticker that tells you how many tampons and towels have been diverted from the waste stream. So every time they sell a moon cup, they kind of work out this is how many tampons and towels that we are saving. So look at it, you'll find it very motivating. Right, while you're there, listeners, if you want to buy a moon cup, you can use the code HOTBED and get 10% off, which makes it around or less than 20 quid.
Can you give me that little address again, that information again, please?
It's mooncup.co.uk.
All right. I'm off to go and have a toasted cheese sandwich now. See you later.
End of the sponsored post.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm so excited to welcome Jacqueline Gold, CBE into our studio.
We've never had a CBE in here.
I'm so excited. Now, Declan, I've met you before, but Aniki, you haven't. And get ready. Buckle up, lady.
I know.
So I call Jacqueline the patron saint of sex.
Wow. Is that your official term?
That's a lot to live up to.
You've already lived up to it. It's fine. You've done the hard work. You can just bask in the glory. So Jacqueline is the CEO of Anne Summers. Of course, everyone knows what that is. And you're an activist for women in business. You're a kind of force of nature. You call Anne Summers a business for women run by women. And I've had the honour of coming to your headquarters, sitting in front of all your staff, of which there are, it's mainly women. But there were some men there and they even asked questions.
Yes, they did.
It was lovely. And one of your favourite, you love the C word. You love the C word.
See, my confident. Mind boggled when you said the C word.
I know. I said that to Anakin. She went, what?
What do you mean?
I know you're all about confidence, or about giving women confidence.
Oh, totally.
And so can we just dive right in there? So one of the things Hotbed strives is to answer the question of why is there an orgasm gap? And you've been working in this industry for a long time, empowering women. Why do you think there is an orgasm gap?
Men take longer.
Complicated.
Men can often be impatient, yeah. And the more impatient they are, the more longer we take.
Because it's pressure. It's like someone's watching you wee. You can't.
Yeah, wait. It's just like that.
The more somebody's pressuring me to orgasm, that's it. I mean, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I know, but it's sad, isn't it, that sometimes we would end up pretending that it's happened.
Yeah.
And why do you think women do that? Because at the end, you're not really helping your partner.
Because
are
I think
you?
They feel under so much pressure. And I think there is just this this tendency for women to put our partner first, you know, it's a men's impatience, mm. and we're worried that they're not going to feel manly enough. I think there's all these things, I don't think it's just orgasm. I think women do have a lot of insecurities in the bedroom. You know, whether it's about body confidence or body image, and you know, does my vagina look normal?
Yes.
Do my boobs look normal? Does he like them? And we pile a load of pressures on ourselves. And, you know, even these conversations, which are brilliant, by the way, you know, I've just said the word vagina. How many women feel comfortable saying the word vagina?
Mm. I work with a charity called the Eva Pill, and they specialise in gynaecological cancers. And there's a horrible statistic about how many women die because they don't want to go into their GP because they don't want to say the word vagina.
Mm. Or show their vagina.
And they often women don't know what's the difference between a vulva, which is the whole thing, and a vagina, which is the inside bit. So here's a tip. There's the word in vagina. Yay! Oh, it's every day's school day. Have you noticed that, so you've been working in this industry for a long time, have you noticed that the landscape has changed because porn is now so mainstream and you can just get it at the flick of a button?
Well, yes, obviously the landscape has changed in many ways, but I think attitudes have changed. You know, when I started my career 38 years ago, you know, women weren't empowered like they are today. Women are so much more empowered. And I think women there is this appetite to want to talk about sex. I think the Me Too campaign has changed attitudes quite considerably, actually.
How do you think it's changed things?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously it was awful when it all was first exposed, and, you know, we were all shocked and horrified by it. But actually, there's also something very positive that's come from that, because I think it's changed boundaries. People know what those boundaries are now. And I think women are much more confident about speaking up and saying this is not acceptable. Mm. So, you know, I think often with negative things, good things come from it. And, you know, I think that has.
Mm. One of the things that you started up, which has just become just a part of British culture and... is the parties at home. Is that how you started the conversation with women? Because I imagine that when you first started doing this, when you had your first stores, women weren't that keen on coming in to
yeah,
the shops.
Yeah, the great thing about, you know, it's the heritage part of our brand, and the great thing about the parties, which is really the part of the business that I founded, was that it became the induction into the stores. People would try out a party first, you know, before they'd go.
In fact, Jacqueline, can you tell us about the parties, just in case people at home don't know what they are, in case you're living under a rock?
Okay. See, I've never been. I would love to. Are they still exist?
Yes,
they still
absolutely.
Exist now.
Okay.
Anarchy, we should do a hotbed.
We should do a hotbed and summer's party.
We should
party.
Do. And summer's yeah. party. Why have we?
Why have we not
must
done
do
this?
That. It's a natural, it's a beautiful marriage. Okay, Jacqueline, tell us about the parties. What happens?
Well, so I was invited to a Pippa D party, which some of the older listeners will remember Pippa D. It's sort of like next close, let's say, a sort of a Tupperware style party. And women at these parties were sort of saying to me, they knew that I was working at Ann Summers for work experience, actually, at the time.
Was it your father's store?
Yeah, yes. He had two stores, and I was working there for work experience, no intention of staying. And, yeah, these women were saying, why don't you do Ann Summers parties? We want to be able to spice up our relationships. And you couldn't buy sexy underwear in the high street like you can today. And you couldn't buy sex toys. You know, women were not empowered in the bedroom. It was a totally, totally different experience. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to try this. So I decided to do a couple of parties myself. And I lived in Biggin Hill at the time, and I sort of got some friends together. And I remember doing this Ann Summers party. Well, the product at the time, because it was all aimed at men, was quite challenging.
In what way?
Well, I had like this sort of hummingbird vibrator you know, which was like a plastic, hard plastic sort of column, phallic shape. Yeah, absolutely, totally. Yeah, and the lingerie.
I was reading something you wrote, and you were saying that sex was very much for men.
Totally.
Nothing about it was designed to empower women. Underwear was, if it was really sexy, it was incredibly uncomfortable. And the sex toys were like,
well, we've
torture.
Talked about that. We've sort of said that, you know, the toys were often, I mean, I remember going into, you know, we're in Soho now. So obviously in the old kind of sex shops that were really designed for men, you know, with the kind of rainbow curtains. And I remember being a teenager and running in there as a dare. So, you know, we were all out together, and like, you know, a bunch of girls went to an all-girls school, literally ran in. And it was just these guys with sort of long trench coats
totally.
On and sort of these little flat caps. And I remember one of them
and
sort of looked at me and was like, ooh, you know. And I was like, I felt so scared. But when you looked on the wall at the sex toys, they all seemed to be really big phallic symbols, you know, massive sort of things, which for a teenage girl, I was like, what the hell?
Oh my God.
What the hell is that? So it has changed, hasn't it?
Yeah,
it
thank
goodness. Probably are still those sex shops.
I mean, you've summed it up really, really well, because it was the Raincoat Brigade, wasn't it? Let's face it. And, you know, the products in there were like blow-up dolls. They would have been probably VHS videos and... let's not go any
just
further.
Just really seedy. I'm going to say, from a woman's perspective, seedy, unpleasant. There's so much shame around sex when it comes for women. It's not for women. That's what I love about the Ann Summers stores, is that the doors are open. It's just a store. It's beautiful. The women in there are talkative and they know what they're talking about. It's just, there's no shame there. And there's no shame walking into that shop. But that's a relatively new thing. That's, you did that.
Yeah.
And one was doing that before.
And that came on the back of the parties. So we started the parties, and they were like revolutionary, because suddenly women were able to touch and feel and look at sex toys and talk about their sex lives and try underwear on. Obviously, we moved on from the sort of nylon see-through baby dolls.
Oh, God. And
I love those.
Great. You should wear that for our next podcast.
I will. Okay. Do it for our, show. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And you also use models that you can really relate to. They're not stick thin. They're really relatable models. Everything is for women.
Yeah.
So how did it transition from the parties to women to this wave of empowerment that we have now?
Well, it's just been the most amazing journey, you know, to start off with 8 girls, actually, that I recruited from that first party. And by the way, I've just got to tell you this. I remember as I was sort of showing them the sex toys, I did the lingerie first and then the sex toys. And I know you can't see this on a podcast, but they were sort of passing them around. I'd switch on the vibrator. They were passing around the sort of...
Jacqueline's hands are shaking.
My hands are shaking, yes. The vibrators with the sort of excitement and nervousness and curiosity all at the same time.
You must have laughed so much.
It was so... I mean, it was so insightful. And I just thought, there is something here, you know, that could just be amazing. And when I look back, you know, over the years, it's been culture changing.
I mean, I wondered, one of the things we were wondering is, because the times were so different then. Even now, we have this whole phenomena of kind of the, you know, slut shaming, or, you know, really derogatory comments against women if they do stand up on maybe Twitter or something, or if they're overtly sexual or talk about being empowered. Unfortunately, we're still in this kind of online world where people say things. What was it like for you in that context? Did you have men sort of pushing back in terms of saying that it was filthy? Or did you have women being judgmental about it? Or did you find actually people were relatively open-minded? Because it was such a different time. You know, you didn't even have sex on TV at that point. You know, if I'm trying to remember, I think there was a scene in Dallas, I'm really going back a few years here, where Bobby was in the shower and the whole, like, series had been a dream. And people were really talking in school about the fact that he was in the shower, because you saw this crop of Bobby Ewing in the shower with a big hairy chest, and it was news. It was kind of newsworthy. And now I think, God, if you compare the kind of sex that we see on TV now on Netflix, that was a real new thing. So did you feel there was a bit of a backlash with people? So, because usually when you try something new, people do tend to push back, don't they?
Completely. I had so many challenges. I mean, I've been arrested twice.
What?
Yeah, I've had a bullet through the post.
Why were you arrested?
Well, I was at the Women's World Exhibition in Bristol, and I had a stand there. And, you know, there was lots of makeup stands and fashion stands. And I'd discreetly positioned the toys, you know, for people that wanted to come in and have a look. And I mean, I was probably about 25 at the time. This is quite a few years ago. And, the police came over. They took me to another room. And they said, you know, you've got to close down your stand. And I said, why? Why have I got to close down my stand? And I sort of sensed they were a little bit out of their comfort zone, didn't quite know what they were talking about. And there was one point during the show where I'd been handing out catalogues to people that wanted them. And one woman came over and just sort of bashed her hand and all the catalogues went everywhere. And I thought, I wonder if it was her that had reported me. Totally outraged.
Like it was indecent.
Yeah. And they basically cautioned me and said, look, we will arrest you. We will charge you if you don't close down this stand. And I sort of sheepishly went back to my stand feeling very sorry for myself and thought, no, you know, this is not right. I'm not running a sex shop without a licence, which is what they were accusing me of. I'm staying put. And I did, and I lasted another 3 days without being without being charged. So, you know, I think, you know, business is hard enough without, you know, sort of that type of thing being thrown at you. And I think
just to show how much has changed. Have any of your friends, have they turned their noses up at it? Have you had any kind of close to you?
I've had loads of things happen to me, whether it be, you know, getting in the taxi and the taxi driver saying, you know, going to my head office, you're not going in there, are you? I said, oh, why? What's happening in there? He said, oh, you know what goes on in there? And I said, no, do tell me. And he's saying, well, you know, women walking around in thigh-high boots and fishnet stockings. I'm thinking, oh, I've not seen them. I said, I work here.
It's funny because
I own it and I don't own a pair. So.
But isn't it funny? Because when we started the podcast off, we were saying that when people, even now, when people sort of talk about sex, sometimes there's that fear that you're going to be, it's all going to be about dungeons and being tied up and kinky boots and quite extreme things.
Yeah.
Whereas actually what we tend to talk about quite a lot is what happens in long-term relationships or what happens when you've had kids, you know, just normal everyday sex that people are having at home. But that's probably partly because of the stuff we see on TV. You know, those kind of extreme shows where you're kind of seeing somebody being tied
up. Yeah, sex is either kind of Anne Widdecombe thinking, you know, waving her hand and saying, don't, you know,
disgusting.
you mustn't, or gimps in dungeons. And there's almost like a gap in people's mentality about the middle ground sex, which is having a sex toy, you know, under my pillow. Oh my God, God help me if anyone finds it. And the shame if anyone sees my, because I'm a heathen prostitute, a woman of the night. I'm like, no, I'm a mum of two and I just have a really normal, natural body.
The other thing is I remember is I was out, you were saying about friends, I was out socially. This is, again, many years ago. And I had this new boyfriend and obviously I'd never met his friends before. And one of them just kept banging the back of his hand against my thigh. And I'm thinking, am I imagining this? What's he doing? And then I realised he's trying to see if I've got stockings and suspenders on. How sad is that? What that reminds me of and what I think is such a shame there, because we've been working on this new brand called MyViv, which stands for My Very Important Vagina. And while we were doing the research, one of the things that we found that we came up against is that if a man has a problem with prostate, let's say he's got prostate cancer or whatever, and he goes to his doctor, the first thing the doctor will talk about is how this affects his sex life. But if a woman's got breast cancer, nobody nobody talks to her about how this affects her sex life. You know, whether she's going to experience dryness. Mm. I mean, you probably know that I've experienced breast cancer. Yes. You know, I was really worried. Is my husband still going to fancy me? You know, these are the things. They're genuine things that go through your mind and shouldn't be shunned away. We should be able to talk about them. We shouldn't feel guilty. We shouldn't feel it's trivial. Yes. It's our right to have sexual well-being.
But there's still this connection with a woman being bad if she's sexual. That a woman is not, you can't be a lovely mum who makes a cracking lasagna and does a homework great and absolutely loves sex. Those two women don't seem to be able to coexist, which is why I think it's really these kind of conversations, what you're doing, and I think what the hotbed is doing is really important. You talk about a bedroom revolution, and it's, I was just reading something and how the rabbit vibrator just changed everything. Why is the rabbit vibrator, that particular one, so iconic?
Well, it's iconic initially because it was on Sex in the City. So, yes, so that's where it became famous.
How did it make its way over there?
I mean, this is a long time ago now, but I think they just asked for the product. You know, and then the next day after it was shown, we sold out.
No,
you
know, really?
Yeah, absolutely, within a day, and it suddenly became...
One of the characters, basically, I can't remember which one it was. You might remember this, but she basically just doesn't leave her house for a weekend. And she almost comes close to sort of death, really, because she's using it so much. She's sort of basically the entire weekend because it's a revelation that she can, and it is with sex toys, is actually, oh yes. My goodness, there's this thing that I can achieve an orgasm really quickly on my own.
Yes.
And I think, I'm pretty sure that that's what happened in the plot. It was kind of like somebody had to come and rescue
her
and say, listen, let's just take the batteries out for a little while so you can go and have a coffee and a normal life for, you know, a couple of days. Because, like, you know, for a lot of women, it would have been a bit like that.
So. But it's important things like that, because when that's shown, it almost, you know, at that time, it sort of gave women permission to masturbate, which was like unheard of. You know, only men do that. And all of a sudden, it was okay. And I guess you could argue that the 50 Shades did that as well. You know, suddenly it moved erotic books from the back of the bookshop to the front of the bookshop, and then all of a sudden,
one of my boyfriends bought me that book, and he made a cover to go over it, so I could read it on the tube.
Oh, really? Was it a picture of himself?
No. It was actually a picture of Wolf. Anyway, I want to read this.
Slightly strange.
It's so funny. This is from an article you did in New Magazine. It said the sex toy's famous appearance on Sex and the City came in 1998 when Anne Summers went online. A year later, sales of its very own Rampant Rabbit exceeded 1 million within 12 months. Outstripping those of washing machines and tumble dryers combined and giving social historians plenty of food for thought, never mind husbands and partners. Is it still really popular? What's your most popular sex toy?
Well, what people look for, the two things people look for are power and discretion. So they want it to be quiet. So the rabbits, absolutely, but we've got this one called Whisper, which ticks both those boxes.
Oh, see, Anarchy, so we do the occasional sex toy review, and we're like the three bears.
We're very different,
aren't
we?
We're like old dogs, yes. So you like hardly anything.
Well, I think the thing is, we're very different.
I'm got an animal.
Lisa's not here, so the third co-founder. She's always in the middle somewhere. But we had to review one product, which I think we're not being sponsored, so I don't need
it
to
name
it. But
it was like being licked by kittens.
It was a clitoral stimulator. So it's got a kind of round head, and it looks like a penguin, doesn't it?
It looks like a penguin.
I found that it was really, really quite aggressive. You know, so I said it was like an over ardent boyfriend. It's kind of like when you're in the sixth form and the boyfriend's really, he thinks that the harder the better, but it's not true. And you said it wasn't hard enough. She was like, no,
on.
I need to turn it right up.
I'm the girl from Sex and the City who needs an intervention.
I know. She's somebody like, she's basically at the point where you would probably, you'd need the hardcore. You'd need the very highly powerful.
Absolutely.
Sort of,
I'm just very efficient. It's very efficient.
It's Morgasm for you.
Yes, definitely.
That's the one.
Yeah. Oh, really? Is that the one?
Okay, that's I'll the one for you. It's super powerful.
As we mentioned earlier, one of the big, big obstacles, I think, for women embracing their sexual self is lack of self-confidence, lack of body confidence.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree. And I think that's why we're really, you know, we have this girl squad. I mean, I go to the photo shoots myself because it's that important. Yes. And I see these girls, and it's not about size. It is not about size. I mean, you know, feeling sexy, it's 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 individual, it's ageless, and it changes throughout a woman's lifetime. But it's about being confident in your own skin. That is so important.
After you had breast cancer, how did you find your sexy again? How did you give that to yourself?
Yeah, it was difficult. You know, there's no dressing this up. It was really hard. Yeah. I mean, you know, I had a mastectomy and I had a reconstruction at the same time. But that doesn't mean to say that you're suddenly, you know, you have to go through a number of processes. And I was sort of thinking, will my husband still fancy me? How will I feel about myself, let alone how he feels? Mm. So I remember coming out of surgery and thinking, you know, my doctor saying, have you looked yet? And I think, I don't know if I can.
That's really scary.
I know, it was scary. And I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to look. I'm just going to touch. I'm going to touch first.
That's so interesting.
So I remember touching. And I actually got my husband to do the same thing. I said, don't look. Just touch it. Get used to how it feels. And then I slowly sort of looked and thought, actually, you know, that's okay. It's not as bad as I thought. And then you just go on this journey. And I've got to be honest, we did have some counselling. I just thought, and the reason we had some counselling, we just had a couple of sessions, is because I just felt, you know, it's actually saying those words and having that conversation and him feeling comfortable in saying, and I needed to hear him say, I feel okay with this.
Yes.
But, you know, when you say things, when I said to him things like, do you still fancy me? Because you're going to say that.
Yes.
He goes, well, of course I do. I'm your, you know, you're my wife. Well, that isn't quite the same as saying I still fancy you. And I needed to hear that.
Yes.
And, you know, you can do it in a safe environment with somebody who's impartial and suddenly think, actually, yes, he does. Mm. You know, he's, you know, and it's sort of exploring that. So
we are huge fans of therapy. We talk a lot about therapy, about preemptive therapy, going to therapy before there's a crisis point. Because, and especially and after children, after a trauma, sex is a huge barometer for what's going on, and it often takes a hit. But it's important. It's not that you don't have to swing from the chandeliers. It's about intimacy, and it's about that couple being together. And you know, and we also talk about not ignoring it if there's a problem. Mm. But a therapist is so helpful to help you say those words and to find those words. You don't always know what to say.
Do you know, it's made a massive, just those couple of sessions have made a massive difference. I mean, my husband and I, we've been married, it will be 10 years next May. We've been together 18 years. And yet now, this moment in time is the closest we've ever been.
Really? Mm. We're probably nearly out of time.
We are nearly out of time. I think we could spend hours talking.
So you were awarded, and this is my closer. Okay. This is the closer. You're awarded a CBE for your services, in recognition of the services. It was kind of a business CBE, wasn't it? The fact that you'd raised this amazing business for women, run by women. How did that feel to be recognised after nearly being arrested and comments and sneers and criticism?
It's the highlight of my career. I mean, it absolutely was because, you know, to have gone through all of those challenges and then to be recognised, you know, for female business, female empowerment, entrepreneurship, social enterprise as well. You know, to be recognised for all of those things that you feel passionate about was just a very special moment in time. And it was so important to me. I took my daughter to the to Windsor Castle when I was presented because I wanted her to see Mummy.
Yes. Mm.
You know, receiving that ward and knowing that, you know, that could
how
be her
old
one
is she
day.
Now?
She's 10 now, but right. she this was in 2016. So
how wonderful she was seven that at the she time. Saw her Mummy do that. I mean, that's a momentous thing for her to see. It's been such a joy to have
you here.
It's
been brilliant.
Thank you so much.
That was Jacqueline Gold, Jacqueline Gold, Jacqueline Gold. She's a business entrepreneur, entrepreneur, entrepreneur. Everything she does is fabulous, fabulous.
I love that you have a Jacqueline Gold song already.
It's just
That's
a jingle.
So great.
I'm sort of hoping that she unfortunately she's not still here, because if she was, I think she would sign me up to do some of her advertising.
I think you should be the answer.
I always thought I should have been in jingles.
Jacqueline Gold's really formidable, isn't she?
She's really formidable.
She's really changed the face of how people perceive sex in this country. And it's not like, it's not a niche thing. Mm. Sex isn't a niche subject. It's something most grown-ups do on a regular or not that regular basis, but it's something we talk about. And it's so funny, for something that permeates almost every part of our life, movies, music. I mean, 99.9% of songs are about love and sex. Mm. And yet there's so much shame around talking about it honestly. It's so odd. So she is single-handedly, well, and her amazing, amazing team. But she has done something really quite amazing.
I know. And if you do want to find out more about her, I mean, Cherry, you did quite a lot of research and I did as well, but she's had an amazing life. I reckon that she'd be up for a biopic. I'm just thinking that, that kind of, you know, totally.
Who would play her?
Someone really glamorous. I would have thought like Suran Jones, maybe.
Yes,
I'm going to pitch this to ITV.
Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, Reese Witherspoon. Yeah. Exactly. Just because she's got so many different challenges that she's overcome, and
she really has. She's got two books.
She's got two books.
I highly recommend.
Do you
reading them?
Also, the Hotbed have got a book as well. I don't know if you've heard about them.
They got a book. Anarchy.
They've got more orgasms, please. Is it? I did actually give her a copy. In closing. You're responsible for this. I've been listening to a lot of manifestation DVDs, like audio.
How's that going?
I don't know, but it's basically you have to think about crazy things happening, and then apparently they happen.
Have you written anything down?
You have to write it in the present tense, don't you?
It's a really important trick.
Did you write?
I am going to earn £5,000 from speaking engagements.
And did it happen
this year? Over the course of a year, you know, 500 here and 200.
I wrote I was going to be able to support my family on the proceeds of publishing.
Yes.
It hasn't happened yet. But see, that's the problem, is I need to still keep on going because I'm on the journey.
No, but you know what? You've written I'm going to be.
Oh, I am. I am.
I support my family off the proceeds of my creative endeavours.
I support my family. Okay, I'm going to write that down.
So you have to be really careful and you have to reread it a couple of times throughout the year. So I go back and check mine. The beginning of every January, I write a manifestation grid. So I've got spiritual, I've got financial,
health. I had a look to see what her net worth was. Yes. And on Wikipedia, it said £470 million.
She's the 16th most richest woman. Most richest.
So Cherry Healy is the 15th.
I'm probably the 17th.
Well, but so do I write down, I am the 16th richest woman in the UK.
Yes.
I have a CBE.
Yes.
Isn't that just called being deluded?
Yes, those are silly ones. And the universe mocks you, Anarchy.
Oh, okay. So I could say
universe laughing at you right now.
I'm the 700th richest woman in the UK.
You can try that. Why not give it a go? But I do think in terms of it works a lot better the more specific you are. Okay. So in terms of finances, I write down what I'd like to earn from each different revenue stream I have. Mm. It doesn't always work, but it's quite fun going back and having a look.
Because it focuses your mind as well in terms of saying yes or no to
things.
Honestly,
when I was dating, I pretty much described Carl.
Did you?
Yeah.
And he is as he is.
And there he is.
Oh my God. Yeah. Is he a real person though?
He's a real person. I know.
Is he? That's
amazing.
Well,
we'll see. Time will tell whether he's a robo man.
He's an avatar.
I'll take him though. I don't mind. I love an avatar.
I can remember just finally, we were at one of our events and Carl is very good looking. You don't mind me saying
that,
do you?
He's such a dish. He's honestly.
But I think he was probably one of the only men there and he did get chatted up by quite a lot of women.
Such a good sport.
And I felt like I was being his bouncer a bit because there was one woman who was being very over, I don't know.
Enthusiastic?
Maybe a few drinks on and she thought this is game. I don't know why she should have probably thought, who is this person and why is he here?
Thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe and leave any comments. Constructive, please. We like constructive comments. And we'd like to move up the iTunes charts. Thank you so much. Share the love. Tell your friends. Tell everyone.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.